A well-paired wine can turn a good meal into a memorable experience. And when it's a special holiday meal like, you know, most of us are going to enjoy on Thursday, we want to make the best choices that we can. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Really glad to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Choosing wine can be kind of tricky, but Jessica Bell is here to help. She is the founder and CEO of My Wine School. She's been with us a number of times. It's always a great pleasure. She wants to make wine accessible and fun for all of us, for you and for me. And tell you what, it's always a pleasure to have you with us, Jessica. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Larry. Good to be here.
Oh, and I tell you, to begin with, tell us a little bit, for those who haven't heard, My Wine School is based in Chicago and Milwaukee, and you're kind of living in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have, for the last 6 years, we've done wine education, mainly on the ground, and we're starting to transition to a more online presence. So we're using wine education, our latest offering that we're going to have more up on the site by the end of next week. We call them DI wine parties. Mm-hmm. And what they are is ways for you to throw your own wine parties, educational wine parties, wine tastings at home, and we give you all the tools you need to do it.
Ooh.
Yeah. So you don't even need me anymore. I'm writing myself out of the equation. But I'm hoping, I get a lot of requests on, oh, how do I do a wine tasting at home? Or can you come do one? And instead, I think I've got the experience and knowledge now to say, hey, here's how you do it. It's actually not that hard. And you can do it on your own. So you can check out more information on the website at mm-hmm. mywineschool.com. But we're going to be working on that over the next couple months.
And we have link already on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, so go there if you want to find Jessica's site. We're in the middle of the deer hunting season, and are there particularly good wines that are that work well with game, especially something like venison?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're in venison country here, you know. And I think what you have to take in, when you do food and wine pairings, you think about what you've got. You think about the major characteristics of the food. So if we look at venison, it's strongly flavored.
Yep.
It's pretty lean because those animals are out in the wild running around. As a result, you're going to want to pair a wine that is also fully flavored, but we don't have to have really high tannins.
Okay.
Tannins are that drying sensation that you might get on a big red wine, which might pair well with, say, a steak, which is higher in fat. Venison is lower in fat. So what I like to steer people towards are fruity, big red wines, but I'm not going to go for the cabs. Mm-hmm. The wines that I would suggest are wines made from the grapes Syrah.
Oh,
Grenache would also be good. And you can find those domestically from, say, California. There's some great ones. Some of my favorites are Coupe, as well as, Coupe is one of my favorites. And then Charles Smith, which is from Washington. He's got one called Boom Boom, which is just a big Syrah fruity. But where I really like to go for games such as venison is the Rhone Valley. Rhone Valley, the major grapes there are Syrah and Grenache, usually blended together. But what's great about Rhone Valley reds is they have a herbal characteristic to it. And when I talk about herbal, I mean things like rosemary, thyme, sage, things that just go so well with venison and mm-hmm. the way venison is prepared. So you can find from the Rhone, you can find inexpensive examples of the Syrah and Grenache, which are really fruity, lots of black and red fruit along mm-hmm. with that herbal, those herbal notes I suggested. It's called Cote de Rhone. And those are $10 to $12, really inexpensive. If you want to spend a little bit more and get a more concentrated, bigger wine from the Rhone, you would look for wines such as Châteauneuf de Pape.
Mm-hmm.
And that means the new Chateau of the Pope, and mm-hmm. that's from Southern Rhone. And that's going to be primarily Grenache-based, mm-hmm. but also some Syrah. But again, that rosemary, thyme, sage, lavender notes as and then if you really want to lay out some money, then you can go to the Northern Rhone, and you'll look for things like Cornas or St. Joseph is actually fairly reasonably priced. So those are some places to look. You can definitely look domestically in the California as well as Washington, or you can go over to France and look for your Syrah Grenache-based blends there.
Jessica Bell, our guest founder and CEO of My Wine School, based in Chicago and Milwaukee. Happy to have her along. Join in with your questions and come. What's on your Thanksgiving menu? Do you know exactly what wines you'll serve, or would you like a recommendation from Jessica? Join in, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. And, of course, Thanksgiving. We're hosting Thanksgiving in our house.
Are you cooking?
Actually, I'll be doing some. My wife, before she went to college, she went to chef school.
Ah.
And then she put herself through college as a pastry chef at a high-end hotel here in Madison. So she loves to cook, too.
She's the executive chef. You're the chef de cuisine.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. She and we don't work well together in the kitchen. As I was single for a long time, and I taught cooking classes and one thing and another. But
how about you bring the wine?
I'll bring the wine. And frankly, we are not, we haven't purchased the wine yet.
Ah, okay.
So we have wine, but I'm was hoping that you would give us some help.
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's so many directions you can take with Thanksgiving wines.
Yeah.
One of the things that always first comes to mind is that just last week we had the Beaujolais Nouveau release.
Yeah.
So that's at the forefront of our mind. And I think that was an ingenious marketing plan by Georges Deboeuf from Beaujolais to do it right before the American Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah.
And, Beaujolais Nouveau, it gets a bad rap, but it's a nice, easy, fruity wine. Now, that said, what it does make me think about is Beaujolais Cruz. Okay, so there's Beaujolais Nouveau, which means it comes from the region of Beaujolais, and Nouveau means new, meaning it's the wine made from this year.
Yeah.
So it's 2012 wine. Now, Beaujolais Cru is from the same region, but from better sites. It's going to be wines usually from the previous year or even further back. And these are serious wines that you can get great, great wines for a reasonable price. And what's great about them is they are just loaded with cherries and cranberries.
Yeah.
Which goes great.
Absolutely.
And then what's also great is they have good acid. So they're going to really cut through all that fabulous fat you find, in the gravy and all the other sides of Thanksgiving. You can get, like I said, some pretty good ones for good prices, under $20.
Mm. Well, Maria in Kenosha has a question for you. Hi, Maria.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh. Well, I was just wondering, and I don't know if I missed it while I was on the line, about a wine that she could suggest for a traditional Thanksgiving dinner.
Okay.
Yeah, I just mentioned the Beaujolais, but I have, like I said before, I have so many directions we can take this. So Beaujolais is at the forefront of my mind just because of the recent release of the Beaujolais Nouveau, but I am such a sucker for pretty wine. Like a wine that looks pretty. And the good news is that they actually go really well with Thanksgiving meals too. And the ones I'm talking about are sparkling reds or rosés.
Mm. Now, do you have a good rosé you could suggest?
Yeah, and it depends if you like more of the sweeter style or the drier style.
Drier,
yes. Then a great place to look for sparkling rosés that are reasonably priced are going to be places like Spain, which makes Cava. They have something called Cristalino, which is under $10.
Oh, sure.
Great rosé if you can find it. Also, domestically speaking, Gruet, it's spelled G-R-U-E-T, has a sparkling rosé. I suggested that wine for my sister's wedding. Okay, so I really believe in this wine. And it is about $15 to $20 retail. Mm-hmm. You can find it all over the place. And what's great about these is, A, they're pretty. They just look fabulous on a table. But, B, they are so versatile with food because they have texture, they've got the sparkling nature, they have great acid, but they still have some berry fruit because it's a rosé, and they're dry. They're not sweet. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of your guests might think, "Oh, I don't like sweet wine. I'm not gonna drink this wine." But really push them to try it, and you might get some. You know, really, it'll be a fun part of Thanksgiving to surprise them into liking a wine that they thought they might not otherwise like.
And repeat that last one that you mentioned. The
Gruet. It's spelled G-R-U. E-T, and get this, it's made in New Mexico, of all places.
Oh,
yes.
Great.
But trust me, it gets 90 points all the time. It's one of the best buys consistently in most of the wine publications. It's a great buy. It looks like a traditional French wine, but it's it's really well done. It's made by some French folks from Champagne region in France.
Well, we want this chilled, right?
Definitely chilled, yeah, because it's actually kind of dangerous if it's not. Because the cork will just go everywhere. And and if you ever have a sparkling wine and it's foaming over, as pretty as that may look, it means the wine wasn't chilled enough.
Oh.
So you might want to put it back in the fridge for a little bit, or in a bucket of ice.
Mm.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Sure. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Maria. You can join in, too. Here's the number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. One of the things we wanted to talk about are port wines and chocolate, and you, oh my goodness, I actually have, Judith, have you posted the photo? Yeah, Judith has already posted a photo, which I'll have to go to my own page here to look, of Jessica and...
I'm bribing you with chocolate and wine.
Look at that. Now there's, go to my Facebook page, you got to go and see this, at the Larry Mueller Show. There's a picture of Jessica with the wine, the port, and the chocolates that she brought, which are delicious.
Yeah, these are Atomic chocolates made by Sean Henninger in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Atomic.
Atomic. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I've worked with him since I've been doing this, and he is just a genius when it comes to chocolate. So what's great is I stopped at his, he owns a pizzeria, and it's in a gas station. Ooh. In Milwaukee, down in the 5th Ward. And after dinner last night at about 10 o'clock, I stopped and they were still open. And I thought, I've got some chocolates with Larry's and Judith's name on it. So.
Well, thumbs up. And what am I going to try
all
here?
All right. So the one that you've got in your hands right now is bourbon maple, which will go really well with the 10-year port that we've already been just testing to make sure it's okay, of course. But the reason is that bourbon is high alcohol, vanilla, sweet flavors, and this tawny port also has some of that high alcohol, definitely, but also vanilla, as well as dried fruit, and even maple and
My goodness, this
toffee
is really
flavors.
Good.
Yeah, and what's great, I mentioned what's great about chocolate and wine, or rather chocolate and port, is it's just a great gift to bring if you're not giving Thanksgiving, but you are going to someone's house. It's easy to pick up. It travels easily, and everyone is going to love you for bringing it. And what I love is that it, it's something that you open at the end of a meal, you put the chocolates out, and people just want to stay around the table and talk.
And talk, yeah. This is just, what a wonderful combination. I'm going to have to, I think I know where I'm going to go for some wines. This would be something great after the meal.
Exactly. And, you know, historically speaking, port was really especially in early America, port and Madeira, which is similar to port, were used to generate conversation after dinner or just in general. They think that the founding fathers of our country were drinking Madeira when they wrote, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, which is fantastic. I mean, this stuff really makes you sit down and just slow down, think a little.
It does that. Jessica Bell, founder and CEO of My Wine School, based in Chicago and Milwaukee, our guest today. You can join in. You have a question about wines? You enjoy wines? You feel confident choosing a bottle in a store? or ordering off a wine list. You have a favorite wine that you'd like to share? What are you going to serve for Thanksgiving this year? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org, or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening in here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about wines today, Thanksgiving wines, pork, chocolate, a lot of kinds of great things with our guest, Jessica Bell, founder and CEO of My Wine School, based in Chicago and Milwaukee. Certainly looking forward to hearing what you have to say or your questions. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Be sure to go to my Facebook page sometime during the show today if you're near your computer, because I've got a great shot of Jessica with the wine and the chocolates that she brought. And Anne in New London, we're turning to you next. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I'm not really a big wine person. I like Zinfandel and Lambrusco, but I always find that I'm mixing them with like 7-Up or something. Isn't there something that's like a happy medium there?
Yeah, definitely. I think what you want to start looking for are some off-dry wines. It sounds like you like sparkling wines, too.
Yeah, I haven't experimented a lot, but that's...
Sure. No, I would say, you know, what from what you when what it sounds like your preferences are, I would say, have you tried sparkling Moscatos?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I think you might. That would be a great place for you to start. The reason is that I think you like the texture of a sparkling wine. You also like the sweetness if you're adding 7-Up, and you know that there's nothing wrong with that because you got to drink what you like. But if you want, look for some sparkling Moscatos.
How's that spelled?
Moscato. Moscato.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, Anne, these are some of the most popular wines right now. It is one of the biggest growing segments in the wine industry is Moscato and also some semi-sweet reds. And so there's a lot of options out there. Traditionally, it came from Italy, which is why we kind of get that Italian name. Moscato is the Italian word for muscat, which is the grape. But you do see some now, some domestic examples of them. There are a lot of still examples, meaning they don't have bubbles in them. So you could probably try either the still Moscatos and the sparkling ones. I think those might be of interest to you.
Great. This is great.
Give it a
and
try.
And what's great is when you suggested or you wanted a suggestion on lighter wines, they are about 6% alcohol, which it sounds like you might be trying to, whether you know it or not, bring the alcohol down by adding 7-Up. And so these wines are usually anywhere from 5 to 8% alcohol.
Oh, wow.
There you go. Thanks, Ann.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ann.
Sue in Teresa, thank you for calling.
Yes, I'm wondering, I love a Chardonnay, and I'm wondering what a good Chardonnay is. You can recommend one.
Sure. A lot of things I would ask you. One is, where do you like your Chardonnays from?
Where do I like it?
Do you like them from the California, principally, from California?
I don't know. I guess I just try, you know, I kind of just try whatever I, you know, kind of come across. I don't know, I guess.
Right.
I have a couple different kinds. I don't like them, you know, I don't like them super, super dry, but...
I would say, you know, there's so many good ones out there, but a good place to look for some great values and really good, lots of fruit, but dry, would be Chile makes some great whites from a region called Casablanca, and that's spelled C-A-S-A-B-L-A-N-C-A, like the movie Casablanca.
Okay.
That's a great place to look. Also, I'm a big fan of Chardonnays from Washington. And you can find, those might be a little bit more difficult to find. We're seeing more and more Washington state wines, but that's another great place, where you get a lot of pure fruit, great crisp acid, and on the drier side.
Okay.
There
Thank
you go.
You.
Yeah,
You're
there
welcome.
You go. Thanks a lot for calling. And more callers. Mark in Madeline Island. Thank you for calling. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
What can we do for you?
Oh, first off, I just wanted to say thank you for having the show. It's great. I just wanted to throw out an idea of some Thanksgiving wines from Italy. I was thinking of Barbera's and Dolcetto's because you were saying you wanted low tannins. I think that might be a nice way to go.
Yeah,
I was also going to... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, and Mark, I think those are fantastic ideas. The great thing about both Dolcetto's and Barbera's is that you have that Bing cherry note on both of them. And again, that cherry red fruit, as we were talking mm-hmm. about the Beaujolais before, goes fantastically with Thanksgiving dinners.
And then the other thing I just wanted just to let everybody else know that's listening is when you're talking about your ports is to let them know that there's a big difference between tawnies and rubies.
Great point, Mark. Yep, that we basically have got two camps of ports, and they're generally classified as ruby and tawny. And coincidentally, those also describe the color of the wines. So rubies are a darker, deeper red purple color because they spend a little less time in oak barrels than the tawnies. So your ruby ports will spend on average, say, 2 to 3 years in oak barrels. Mm. So they'll maintain a lot of their color. And they'll also, as a result, maintain a lot more fruit. So your rubies are going to be fruitier. They're going to be have more vanilla. They might even come across a little sweeter. Now, your tawnies, on the other hand, are going to spend, for instance, this one is a 10-year tawny, on average, 10 years in oak. When a wine spends time in oak, it's exposed to oxygen, and through that process, it's going to lose its color. So, Larry, if we look at the color of this, we can see that there is some red hints, but it's mainly a tawny color.
Yes.
And so you can tell it came from red grapes, but after 10 years of being in oak barrels, we now have a browning of the color. And as a result, flavor-wise, we also get dried fruit rather than more of a fresher fruit, and we also get nutty aromas. And Larry's drinking
it. I'm tasting it right now, as a matter of fact.
So, Mark, that was a great point. There's a big difference between the two, and the major difference is the amount of time that a ruby versus a tawny spends in oak barrels.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, thank you guys very much for your show.
Well, thanks, Mark.
Yeah, that was great comments, Mark, and questions. Thank you so much for joining us. Sonia, listening online in Wyoming, wonders if you have a recommendation for a couple of organic wines that are not too pricey, both a fruity red and a white.
Fruity red and a white. Yeah. So what you especially come with an email from a different state, we've got different wines available in different states. And so it's difficult to make sure there are some that cross over between our state lines. But what I would recommend if you're looking for organic wines, first start with looking for wines from organic grapes. And the reason for that is that organic wine, by law, has to have no sulfur dioxide added. Whereas wines from organic grapes have a legal limit as to how much sulfur dioxide can be added. Mm. Now, when we hear that, we think, well, sulfur dioxide just sounds like the villain, like, you know, something bad no matter what. But just a little bit of sulfur dioxide helps to preserve the wine, and it helps to keep it stable. So when used judiciously, I say it's like a chef using a refrigerator to keep their food fresh, or washing their hands. Sulfur dioxide is like an antiseptic. It's like taking care of the food so that it gets to you fresh and fully flavored. And people who are making wines from organic grapes, if they're already using organic grapes, they are very conscientious about what they're doing, and they're going to probably be using as little sulfur dioxide as possible. And even if that doesn't work, then by law, the sulfur dioxide limit is lower than regular wine.
Okay.
So I would recommend looking for wine from organic grapes.
Here we go. And Ed in Kenosha, you are up. Thank you for calling.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
There's a wine that I found that I like. It's an Australian wine, Black Opal. But it's hard to find, and I was wondering if there was anything similar to it that I might find more easily.
Okay, so an Australian wine called Black Opal.
And I'm almost sure that Black Opal is a Shiraz from Australia. I'm not sure if you know that off the top of your head, but if my memory serves me correctly, I think it is a Shiraz. There are a lot of good value Shirazes out there. Some of my favorites, which is a little bit higher price point, maybe right around between 15 and 20, is going to be Jester Shiraz is a great value. If you're looking for something a little less expensive, that's really well distributed, is Layer Cake. You can find that almost anywhere. Mm. So I would say check out Layer Cake might be your best bet. I see it in most retail stores and grocery store outlets.
And what was that one again?
Layer Cake Shiraz.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Give it a try, Ed. Thanks a lot for calling. And Bill in Wakefield, hello to you.
Yes, hello. Yeah, I just want to make a comment. It's a great topic, and sometimes it's not the wine, it's the person that you're with. And a heart surgeon of mine, a good friend, Mike Kitchener down in North Carolina, always told me if you want to have a better time, always put the wine bottle on the table, because people eventually drink more and they'll kind of lose it.
I like it. I agree 100%, Bill. It's, you know, I'm always advocating that wine is what brings us together, and you got to drink what you like and have fun with it. When you lose sight of that, really, it's not much fun at all.
Switch the bottle to a little lower end on the second round there, that people won't even notice by then.
Yes, exactly. You start with the good bottles, right?
Yeah.
So that when people's taste buds are at their sharpest, and then by the second or third, you can pull out the lesser expensive ones. I actually had a friend who made wine in California, and she tells the story. She's a winemaker, and she tells the story that she had all her winemaker friends over, and they drank a little too much, and they started drinking her really good wine at the end of the night. And she woke up the next morning and saw all these half finished bottles of some of her favorite expensive wines. So she made a wine called the Third Bottle.
And pour them together.
And so that is the bottle you serve, the third bottle. It's, you know, a $10 bottle of wine, and it's made for the end of the night when no one really knows what they're tasting anyways.
Exactly.
There you go, Bill. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate the call. Oh, and Jessica in Milwaukee. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. My mom has a, like, three-drink limit for us on Thanksgiving. And I was just wondering if there was a red wine with a little bit more of an alcohol content that you would recommend, because I think we need to loosen up. And with the limits, it makes it hard. So I was wondering if you could recommend something that could give us a little...
Jessica, I have to say this is the first time I've gotten this question. No, it's usually, you know, how can I find, you know, wines with lower alcohol but higher alcohol? Yes, you can. I mean, if you really, really want to have a good time and get it really loose, then port. That's 18 to 20% alcohol. Now
that the dessert wines.
Yes, this is true. This is the sweeter ones. If you want the drier ones, then what you want to do in general is look for hotter regions, because the hotter the region, the more sugar. Which, if it's going to be fermented dry, sugar changes to alcohol. So you're looking at California. You can find some wines that are in the 16%. Another place to look, actually, now that I think about it, is Amarone.
Okay.
And Amarones can be a little bit more expensive, but you can get a wine. It's like its little brother called Ripasso di Amarone, which is, we'll just call it its little brother for sake of time. But Amarone is usually around 16%. So the Ripasso di Amarone, you can get a little bit of a higher alcohol on those.
Amarone. Could you spell that?
Oh, sure. Yes. Thank you. Amarone. Now, the Amarones themselves can be upwards of $40 to $50, but the Ripassos are going to be in the $20 range.
Oh, okay. Then could you sell that one? That's more.
Sure. Yeah. So Ripasso is Ripasso di Amarone. And it's the idea that it's using the same grapes used to make Amarone, but it's they're being used the second time, and but they're fantastic wines. They're really.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome, and they go great with the holidays. So.
Oh, excellent! Well,
have fun,
I hope
Jessica.
No one will notice.
Oh man, thanks a lot for calling. Oh, things will be hopping at their house.
Right, I want to go to their house.
Oh man, well, email from Beth in Hammond. looking for a wine that doesn't contain sulfites. Can you help with that?
Sure. Yeah, Beth, this is a common question. And the reason is because sulfites can be the cause of perhaps sneezing or headaches. And so a lot of people are looking for wines with alt sulfites. Now, that said, you will not find a wine in America that doesn't say contain sulfites on it, because all wines, by the nature of being a wine, will contain sulfites. Now, you can find wines that say no added sulfites, meaning the winemaker has not put any in. And so that's what you're going to be looking for. There's some in California. I think Frey is the first one that comes to mind, F-R-E-Y. One, I think, has some no added sulfites. Now, granted, like we said before, sulfites are keep a wine fresh and stable. Mm-hmm. So don't be surprised if the wine doesn't taste as good, because it's not going to taste as fresh. I always ask people if they're looking for sulfite-free wine, is it because you're getting headaches from red wines? And if it is, it's probably not the sulfites. It's probably the tannins or something else, such as histamines. If you don't get headaches from white wines and you do from red wines, it's not the sulfites, because white wines tend to have more sulfites than red wines.
We had Philippe Cocard on from Wallersheim Winery, and someone asked him a similar question about they like the European wines because they didn't have sulfites. And he said, no,
right.
That's... they just don't have it on the label, but it is present in all the wines.
It is present. And the reason in America why the TTB, the Trade and Tobacco Bureau, make every winery put it on the label is because some people have severe reactions to sulfites, such as asthmatics can have really severe reactions. And so they have put that on there to protect people who might have severe reactions.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have a question about port. Can you, and this is from Bill, an email from Bill, can you say anything about late bottle vintage ports? Do they benefit from aging? How long do you think they will last beyond the vintage date on the label? I have been fortunate enough to have been able to sell our vintage ports from the 50s, and I've had a number from the 70s and really appreciate these. I assume late bottle vintage ports will not be as excellent, but I would like to know more than I do about them, especially if I consider holding them.
Yeah, great question. Now, so vintage ports, so we bring everyone up to speed. Vintage ports are ports that are made in 1 year, just from 1 year. Most ports, like this 10-year Tawny we have here today, is made from a combination of different vintages or years. So vintage ports, yes, can age beautifully, 10, 20, 30, 50 years. Now, late bottle vintage ports, what those are, they're a port from one vintage or 1 year, but when it came time to decide whether this wine was going to be a vintage port, it wasn't quite as good as what they expect of a vintage port. So they said, okay, we're going to wait another couple years and we'll decide later if we'll bottle this on its own as its own vintage. And what happens is they get a couple years out and they say, yeah, this is really good. This deserves to be bottled on its own. So now you have what's called a late bottle vintage. So by virtue of what it is going to be of lower quality. Now, most late bottle vintage ports are not made for aging, but some are. Now, how do you tell? The closure. It's as simple as that. The industry will label them as traditional late bottle vintage and modern late bottle vintage.
Mm.
Traditional late bottle vintage is actually made in the style enclosed like a vintage port, which is closed with a cork. So if your late bottle vintage port is closed with a cork, you can age it, and it will benefit from aging. Now, it will not age as much as a vintage port because it's not as of a higher quality of a vintage port. But it can age, and it can improve with age. Now, if your late bottle vintage, we call them LBVs, if your LBV is closed with what we call a T-stopper, which is what we have here today, the T-stopper is a cap with a cork that they're attached. So if you think of, if you open a scotch bottle or a bourbon bottle, spirit bottles, those are what we call tea stoppers. If your late bottle vintage port is closed or sealed with a tea stopper, it will not benefit with age. So open that and drink it because now it's just probably going in the wrong direction rather than the right direction.
There we go. And thanks a lot for that question. It was a great question. And Stephanie from Ashland says, for those who like a sweet wine, I love Washington Hills Late Harvest Riesling, a great fall wine.
Yeah, that one's a great one. And great pricing on it. I love Washington wines. I'm just a big fan. They have got a great climate. It's northern, so you get great crisp acid, but tons of sunlight, so you get a lot of fruit. And that's a great one. I agree.
And Tina loves wine, but can't handle a heartburn. She gets heartburn.
Uh-huh. So, Tina, you do not want Washington wines because usually what causes heartburn is that acid.
Oh,
so, Tina, you're probably looking for wines that have a little bit lower acid. So where you're going to look for wines are wines from warmer regions. When you have a warmer regions, you tend to get more sugar but less acid. Now, be careful because I'm sure alcohol can also cause heartburn. So what you're looking for are warmer weather wines that have lower alcohol. Spain might be a good place. Just look for the alcohol. Make sure it's not a high one. Chile would be great for you to look in those regions. So, it's a tough, but I think probably the acid and the alcohol are causing the heartburn.
And can you recommend some red wines for cooking, as in braising beef, wines to add to tomato sauces, for example?
Yeah, definitely. I think that when you're cooking with wine, you want to make sure the wine tastes good because it's going in your food. But you also want to make sure that it's not very expensive. So you can go to the store. I would say great wines to find are Spanish and Portuguese reds. Full of flavor. You can get great ones for $10 to $12. Or you know what a great brand is in the States for this is Bogle. B-O-G-L-E. Great.
Bogle.
Yeah. $10 wines. Fantastic values on them. And you'll enjoy a glass of it while you're cooking, which is always nice.
And finally, an email from Carolyn. 2012 Consumer Report magazine said in blind taste tests, our expert rated a $6 bottle of Shiraz better than a wine that costs $43. It's Alice White, 2009, a Shiraz from Australia. Do you have any comment on that?
Yeah.
Would it be good with a turkey?
I'm sure that wine would be great with a turkey. And if you can find a $6 bottle of wine that you like, I say do it.
I do it.
Yeah, my parents, they got a $6 bottle of Chianti, and I tried it. I was like, this is awesome. Like, for $6, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to keep in mind, what happens is the Consumer's Report, I didn't see this report, but when they say better, do they mean that the quality was better or someone preferred it? Okay. And then what you have apart from that is that you have outliers. So you can have a $6 bottle that is better than its class. So it's, you know, should be a $12, $15 bottle.
Yeah.
And then you have $43 bottles that are out of, it's an outlier, meaning it should be, you know, a $6 bottle because it's faulty and it's bad. So to take just two bottles and not really qualify what better means makes it difficult to say, oh, you know, all $43 bottles are no good. That's, you know, you can't make that generalization. But it's true. There are outliers. And if you can find them, I'm always looking for them. So I'm going to go try. I've heard of that one. I haven't tried it recently. So I'll go try it too, because I'm always looking for, you know, $6 to $10 bottles that are the outlier, or the exception to the rule.
And I had a friend who had some very wealthy friends they went to dinner with, and they ordered a $500 bottle
goodness.
Of wine. And it wasn't any good.
Right. And that is the saddest thing in the world. I mean, to run that risk, to spend $500 and to have it be no good is just...
Our friends weren't paying for it.
No.
Thankfully.
I don't blame them.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Jessica, this has been so much fun.
Oh, thank you so much, Larry.
Now, what are you doing? What have you got going for Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving? Well, I'm married and have a little one.
Yeah.
So we have the obligation to make sure we hit both sides of the
both
family.
Sides of the family.
They don't care if my husband and I are there. It's just about my two-year-old, where she is. So we happen to be her transportation between my parents and his parents. So we'll start at my parents and then go to his parents and just eat a lot. And, of course, my mom just called me on the way here and was like, yeah, you don't need to cook anything. Just bring wine.
And back to your page for just a minute. Tell us again where What's your business is about?
Yep. So, mywineschool.com. We are an online wine education outfit, and we're really looking for innovative and fun ways to get wine education out there and make it easy and affordable.
And there's a lot on your site. I can vouch for that. It's a great place to go.
Yeah, we just posted a new page about my trip to the Republic of Georgia. So lots of pictures and lots of blog entries and news articles about what I did over there.
We'll look forward to your next visit. Thank you
great.
So much.
Thank you. Me too, Larry.
Jessica Bell, founder and CEO of My Wine School, based in Chicago and Milwaukee. And now that your taste buds kind of thinking about, okay, dinner and wine, we've covered the wine. Let's go to the food side next with Terry Milligan, a culinary instructor as well as the owner of and executive chef of the Inn at Christopher's in Sister Bay. That coming up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.